Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who are people saying I am?" They said in reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others you are one of the prophets." And then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the human one must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise again after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside, and he began to rebuke him. At this, Jesus turned round. He looked at his disciples, rebuked Peter, and said, "Get behind me, you Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny his or her very self, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save her life must lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will find it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Okay, put on your thinking caps, as the nuns used to always say to us. Unfortunately, we Catholics often don't put on our thinking caps. We just want to hear the same old thing repeated again and again, so we don't have to think. But let's work on this gospel a little bit, because it's very central. First of all, if you are reading along, you perhaps notice that I changed the word Son of Man to human one. That's actually the correct translation. The Son of Adam, or the everyman. The stand-in for everybody. Jesus is the map of the human journey. He tells us ahead of time where it's coming from, what's going to happen in between, and where it's going. And all we do is we look at his life and we see, like him, we came forth from God. We grow up. We have our trials in between. But the good news is we all return to God. And that's called the resurrection and ascension. He's the map for everything. And that is to give you hope and purpose and direction. And he's saying what, of course, we don't want to hear. That this map of life, this map of the pattern of life that he is, includes death. Dang it. Dang it. That's what we don't want. And you see, even Peter, the so-called head of the apostles, the first pope, as Catholics would think, I guess, he misses the point, and not just misses it, but fights it. That's how deep it is in us. And it's the only time in the whole gospel where Jesus ever calls anybody a devil. And he speaks it to Peter, the one who's supposed to understand it all. If you've ever been to St. Peter's in Rome, you've seen the great Michelangelo dome above the tomb of Peter. And in Latin it's written around the dome, "You are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church." And that's good. But they should put this line right underneath it. "Get behind me, Satan. For the way you think is not the way of God, but the way of man." And until we have all undergone a radical conversion, We think like human beings do, in a sort of practical, functional, ordinary, not so enlightened way. So why does he say this at the end? That you have to lose your life to find it. Is he just being negative? Is he just giving us a little riddle that we can try to pay attention to but really don't understand? Now listen closely. Right? Here's the self that's got to die. And this is death for every one of us. Because the only self you've ever known is this little body that you're living in, like I am. It's the only Richard self I've ever known. I've been with it for 72 years. I've gotten used to it. And I sort of think it's me. Now what happens in the moments of great conversion, great transformation, great enlightenment, is what dies is your sense of a separate self. Are you listening? This doesn't happen easily. But this is why the saints and the mystics and the holy ones live on a completely different level. Because they don't walk around worried about this separate self. They've died to this, and they live in the common self, which we would call in Christian vocabulary the body of Christ. That in the deepest, truest level that will exist in all eternity, you are not radically separate from the person sitting right next to you. You are not radically separate from the black man who was shot on the streets of St. Louis. You are not radically separate from the women in the refugee camps on the borders of Syria and Hungary and Austria. And neither are you radically separate from those who today are filled with joy and filled with happiness and enjoying the birth of their first child. You see, there's only one joy, and it's the joy of the risen Christ. There's only one suffering, and it's the suffering of Christ on the cross. He is the stand-in for everybody and everything all the time and everywhere. Now, if you haven't experienced that yet, you probably think, oh, there he goes again, this gobbledygook talk that makes no sense. Well, before conversion, it doesn't make sense. After conversion, it's the only thing that makes sense. What has to die for you to find your true self is your false self. And your false self is precisely your separate self. Your separate self, which tries to feel superior and moral and better than everybody else. It's always doing its little dance and playing its little games of superiority. It's filled with insecurity because it knows it isn't that superior, but we have to pretend that we're better than black people and brown people and Chinese people and Republicans or whoever it is you don't like, you know. All of that falls away. And that's precisely why the transformed person can love their enemy, because their enemy is not so radically different than they are. And people of other countries and races and religions are not so radically different than you are. We're all naked and the same underneath our clothes. And your clothes are just your false self, just dressing, window dressing. That's all it is. At the deepest level, you and I, as Paul says, are hidden with Christ in God. Now that's why you need to pray every day. That's really the whole function of prayer, is to rediscover that, to learn how to abide in that place, to learn how to trust that this is who I really am. And this is already good. And this is already saved. And I don't have to worry about little private me, little separate me, little insecure me. I am one with you. And you are one with your neighbor. And you are one with God. That's the gospel. That's the whole point. That's the reason you're coming to communion in a few moments. Until it dawns on you that you are in communion. Get it? That's the whole point. You're not here to save your soul. That's already been done once and for all. In Christ, through Christ, with Christ, because of Christ. And you, by God's love and mercy and grace, are already the body of Christ. The one universal body that has existed since the beginning of time. And you and I are just here our few years, dancing on the stage of life, taking ourselves perhaps far too seriously. But now I hope the true gospel frees you to take yourself not just seriously, but lovingly. And even with enjoyment, knowing that you live a life that cannot be taken from you. And it is the very life of God.